Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. I was singing and praising and worship there, you know, and man, the presence of the Lord just began to overflow me. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of his people. That inhabit means he sets his throne up right in the midst of that praise and worship and just sits there and just soaks it all in. Hallelujah. That's how important your praise and worship is to God. Hallelujah. And it's important to you too, because praise steals the enemy and the avenger. If the devil's on your trail, get to singing and praising God and he'll leave. Especially after you take authority over him in Jesus' name and kick him out. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was instructed to make sure I did not forget to tell you that Pastor Robert and his family said Happy Father's Day to the fathers. And I'm saying it for myself too. Happy Father's Day. Glory, hallelujah. Now I was studying and getting ready, you know, and all, and I was really wanting to get a good Father's Day message together, you know, and all. And I thought I was on the right track. And then everything just like, have you ever been going somewhere and you stop and say, man, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's what happened. So I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, Lord, you just have to take care of it. So Pastor Robert texted me about a service today and all, tell me the order it was going. And I said, man, now's the time. So I just called him up and asked him, do I have to have a Father's Day message for tomorrow? He said, no, just follow the Lord. I said, thank you. But praise God, you know. So that's what I wanted to do anyway, because I want to do what God wants. So it is going to be kind of a Father's Day message, but it's going to be the message on our Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the title of it is The Father's Love. Okay? And it's going to, and if we will listen and pay attention, we will glean from this message today things that are more important to God than what we think they are. Or let me put it this way. They're more important to God than some of us may think they are. God knows it's important to him. All right? Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Glory, hallelujah. Luke chapter 15. Let me know when you're there. Say amen, hallelujah, glory to God, or something. Hallelujah. I'm a unique person. Did you know that? I am. Hallelujah. And, you know, God, I just say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. But I want you to be the one that's telling me. We're going to be looking at, let's start in, and we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read a couple of verses, then we're going to skip. Hallelujah. Okay, on over. I just want to bring out a few points. And this first few verses is one of the points I want to bring out. Now, then drew near unto him. Now, we're talking about Jesus here. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. Now what did he tell us in his word? Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save those which are lost. So he said he's always about the Father's business. Didn't he? That's what he said. I don't do nothing. I don't say nothing unless I see or I hear my Father do it, say it or do it. That's the only thing I do. Now, in order for us to live a life like that, we're going to have a stayed up, prayed up prayer life. Because if we don't spend time with him in prayer, then he will not be there to lead us into his perfect will. Why? Because we've shut him out. Not because he don't want to be there. He wants to be there. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. But it's up to us. Say, the buck falls on me. It's on me. All right, look what it says going down there. Let me read that again. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. There's always some religious person, self-righteous somebody, that's going to have something to say about what you do and how you worship God. And the church is full of them. Amen. The church is full of them. That's why I like praise and worship music turned up pretty loud, so I can holler and scream and praise God and can't nobody say nothing about it. Because if it's not turned up, you won't say nothing, but you don't want to hear me. Because I can't sing. But it's wonderful to my Heavenly Father. And I'm not here to please you no way. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, it's time for us to get real. And worship God with our whole being. Makes no difference what anybody says. And I said, man, he can't carry a tune in the bucket. No, I can't carry it in the barrel either, but I'm still going to praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. So they begin to murmur and complain. There's always going to be people that don't like what you're doing. You got to get your mind on what God has called you to do and keep pushing on. Hallelujah, all right? Let's see what Jesus does about this. And he spake this parable unto them. Now, I'm not going to read this, but let's go to first. What man of you having 100 sheep? All right, this is the parable of the 100 sheep. And you all know this. He said, one of them got lost. He said, what man of you? Let me put it to you is what he's saying. You want to murmur and complain about me being eating and fellowshipping with sinners and publicans and all this stuff? Now, let me ask you something. If you had 99 sheep and you lost one of them, what would you do? You'd leave. I mean, you had 100, not 99. One done gone, though, had he? You would leave the 99 and go find and search and find that sheep until you found him, and you would come home and you would call your friends together and have a party because you found your lost sheep. I want you to understand that he's saying, there's nothing wrong with you finding your lost sheep and bringing it home. Then he goes on to next. He says, this woman had 10 silver coins, and she lost one of them. What did she do? She lit her lamp, she got her broom, and she swept and cleaned her house. And the New Living Translation says, every nook and cranny. Until she found that lost coin. And what did she do? She went and called her friends together and had a party because her coin was lost, but now it's found. They had a party because the sheep was lost and they found it. But Jesus also said after that, with the sheep being found, he said, there is joy in the presence of heaven over one soul that repenteth. They were grumbling and griping about him eating with sinners, but he said on a different occasion, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was about the Father's business. Amen. He's concerned about their lost sheep or their well-being or their livelihood. He's concerned about their finances because he showed the joy they had when they found the coin. And he also said in that same parable, again, that there's rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repenteth more than all the other 9 coins that are 99 sheep. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Woo, hallelujah. Now, let's go into Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Ooh, hallelujah. Now he's coming into another parable here. There's some things in this parable that we're going to search out and pull out today that's going to bless your socks off. Hallelujah. How many of your feet get cold easy? might have to throw them up in your lap and wrap them with your hands, because the Lord's going to bless your socks off. Hallelujah. If you listen and if you're expecting, okay? Glory be to God, I haven't got just about that much time. You know how much that much is, don't you? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's okay to laugh in church, you know that? God wants you happy. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Woo, hallelujah. Okay, let's start in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them what? His living. Not just part of it, but he divided his living unto them. And not many days after that, now let me go back and restate. And we're still in the Old Testament here. Do you know that? We're still in the Old Testament. The New Testament, it says this is New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they were still under the Old Covenant. Amen. Okay? So he said he had two sons. Back in the Old Covenant, the eldest son always got a double portion. And by Greek Jews and all this, they could not give everything they had away. They had to keep a portion of it. But he gave them everything that he could. Okay, let's put it that way. Divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. How many of you was a sinner before you got born again? How many of you wasted a lot of your living on the way you lived? I did. We all did. You know why? Because I was a sinner. What do sinners do? They sin, don't they? They sin. So this is what this young boy did. So he left his father, he left his home, he left his all of living. He left someone that took care of him, that loved him, and would do anything and everything for him. But like the rest of us, we think we know more than God or our father or our mother in certain stages in our life. We do. I heard a fellow say one time when I was 20-year-old, my daddy was the stupidest man I ever seen in my life. When I got 25, he wasn't as stupid as I thought he was. When I got 35, he was a whole lot smarter than I ever knew he was. No, it's because you begin to understand and see yourself and begin to grow wisdom yourself. But that's the point he was making. When I was young, he wasn't nothing, just a dumb old man. But the boy left, and he wasted every dime he had on wild parties, wild women, and was living it up until he saw his money was gone. I mean, you know, when you keep giving out, giving out, giving out, none coming in, there's going to be a stopping point. Hallelujah. So he kept giving it out till there was none left. Let's go on down. Woo, let's read this. It's just good. Gooder. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose. Now, how much is all?
All.
He didn't have none left. He couldn't go down the store and buy him no oodles or noodles. Hallelujah. He couldn't. Because he had spent it all. And where was all his friends that he spent it on? They were gone, gone, gone. Gone, gone, gone. And he was left alone. Oh, but he's not alone. That's what Jesus said. You're going to leave me all alone. Oh, but I'm not alone. Because the Father is with me. Hallelujah. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He loved me when I was a sinner as much as he loved Abraham.
Amen.
Woo, glory be to God. Because it was his love for me that sent him to that cross. Hallelujah. And I've said this before, and I believe it with all my heart. If I was the only person on the face of the earth, the only person, Jesus would have went to that cross just for me. Hallelujah. And you got to realize that too about yourself. That's how important you are to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And when he had spent all, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. How many of you ever been in want? How many of you ever been, oh Lord, I don't know where my next meal's coming from. We've been there. Not since I got turned on to the word to begin to give my tithes and offerings. But we've been there, haven't we, Patsy? Hallelujah. And a lot of it was come from my stupid lifestyle I had. And didn't plan for nothing, didn't do nothing, just when I get it, I spend it all. Glory be to God. But we have a Heavenly Father. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Now I'm going to have to get my handkerchief out because y'all done got me going here. And Holy Spirit begin to fill my cup to overflowing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And he began to be in want. And there's a little note under my verse there that I have underlined. And it's not just begin want. There became a severe famine in the land. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Now, if you know anything about feeding the swine and all back in those days, that was the lowest job you could ever get. They were not even allowed to have the swine, the pigs, anywhere near town. They were secluded off by themselves. And only slaves and the kind of people that you buy or you keep them because they owe you money, but when they get the debt paid off, you set them free. Those are the only kind of people that they had to do that because that was the only job they could get. Now let's look on. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man, say no man, gave him anything. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, glory be to God. Listen to that. How many of you are born again in here? Raise your hand. Well, there's a point in your life you had to come to yourself in order to receive salvation. Hallelujah. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat? Bread enough. Let me get back up here. I can't see good. Get them tears out of my eyes. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish here with hunger. He said, man, I have messed up my life. I had all this money that my father gave me. I had a home that my father made for me. I had a family that loved me and cared for me. And here I am, done wasted everything that I've ever had, and I don't even have nothing to eat. Sometimes you got to get to the lowest point of your life before you look up and come out of the situation you're in. I didn't say God put you there. I want you to understand that, because God does not do that. But I want you to understand something else too. Those 99 sheep or those 100 sheep, they were not responsible agents. They had somebody over them. The 10 coins were not responsible agents. They had someone over them. But this boy was a responsible agent. So he has to make the decisions for himself. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17 again. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Hallelujah. I don't see how anybody in the right mind could ever get born again and taste of the goodness of God and go back into the world like they were before. I don't see how it happens. But the devil really does a job on them and gets them so deceived. And a lot of it's because we don't renew our mind to the Word to find out who we are in Christ Jesus and what benefits are ours because of that atonement that He made for us. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. He said within himself, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, or against you too. I have sinned. He said, I'm going. Now, what's going on here? Conviction has come. Repentance is rising up. Glory be to God. Yoo-hoo. Glory. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, or against, my Bible's got a little italics, against thee, and am no more worthy to be called your son. I'm not even worthy enough to be part of your family anymore, Dad or Father. I have messed up big time. I'm not worthy enough to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants, or just give me a job and treat me like one of your servants. That's true repentance. That is true repentance. Glory, hallelujah. And he arose and came to his father. Now listen to this. I want you to look at this. And he arose and came to his father. First, he said, my father's got plenty for me. I'm not worthy to be called his son. I can go back to my father and I'll go to work on the farm as a servant. Now you're looking at a true repentance, conviction and repentance. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off. Now listen to this. And he was yet a great way off. He's a long way off from home yet. Look what he's saying here. A great way off. His father saw him. How did his father see him and him a great way off? Because every day his father was looking, seeking. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save those which are lost. He was longing. He was looking. He was searching for his son to come back home, but his son had to make that decision. He had to make the decision. The Bible didn't, Jesus didn't say, I have come to seek and to run after and grab those that are lost. Seek and to save. How was he seeking? He was looking every day to see if he could see his son coming over that hill. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. Oh my God, we need to get a good picture of what's going on. In today's world, and how sorry or how much the devil has deceived people, and how sorry they treat their own kids, throwing them in trash cans and dumpsters and all kinds of things like that. They need a taste of the Heavenly Father's love. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I have come to seek and to save those which are lost. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've got to bear with me just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at verse 21 again. And the sun set. Go back to verse 21, 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and fell upon his neck, kissed him. He began to love on his son that was lost. Hallelujah. What do you think Jesus would do? This is a true picture of Jesus. Hallelujah. Of all the times that we turn our backs on him, or when we mess up and we don't go straight to him and correct it, he's standing there with his arms out, waiting and hoping and ready for us to come to him and to make everything all right. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the son said unto him, the father fell on his neck and kissed him and loved on him. Why? Because he was glad to see his son. I want you to listen. We get on down here to the picture of this. He's not just talking about a son that left home. I want you to listen to what he's saying. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and against you too. And am no more worthy to be called your son. He's done already made up his mind what he is going to do back when he was feeding the pigs. So now he come home and faced his father face to face, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. True repentance. True repentance. But the father said to his servant, now I want you to listen to what, how many people, natural fathers, that will begin to beat on that son or on that, yeah, on their son and all that, and curse them and call them all kind of stupid things and say, you done wasted everything that you had that I gave you. I'm not giving you nothing else. In today's world we live in now, if you realize all that stuff like that that goes on, this will mean more to you than you can imagine. Hallelujah. It's a true picture of our Heavenly Father. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. Say the best. God wants you to have the best. He wants you to have the best. Hallelujah. And put it on him. Don't let him put it on himself. Put it on him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Glory be to God. Back in those days when you were a slave or a hired servant, you didn't have shoes to wear because that was a sign of being low, a servant and a slave. But when you were liberated, they gave you your shoes back. And the ring on your finger and shoes on your feet meant you were restored back to where you were supposed to be. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all going to have to bear with me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo, hallelujah. And put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Now that robe, I want you to think something about it. I want you to understand something. You're not just somebody. When a symbolic of that robe being put on you and that ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, you are royalty. You are the child of the king. Amen. Glory be to God. And everything that's in the kingdom belongs to you. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Everything. Everything that's in the kingdom belongs to you. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! It ain't getting too quiet in here, is it? Hallelujah. I like a lively service, don't you? Hey, let me tell you something. God does too. That's why he wants to see people born again, so because there's joy in heaven over one soul that repents. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo! Now look at verse 23. And he told the servant, and bring the fatty calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Well, see, Jesus had already told them on a couple different occasions when one sinner repents, there's rejoicing in heaven. So the sinner repented, the son repented. Now the only thing they could do was have a party. Woo! Hallelujah. Shout and praise God because this son of mine. Now, this is what the Father says. Excuse me. Glory be to God. Look at verse, let's read verse 23 again. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Right here's the key. For this my son was dead. See, his son in the parable was only left. But he said here, why? Because the son had turned the back on the father. For this my son was dead and alive again. Why? Repentance. Repentance brings eternal life. Salvation. Hallelujah. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to make merry. My Lord, sounds like what's going on in heaven, doesn't it? Every time a sinner repents. Glory be to God. Now don't forget about these old Pharisees when he started these parables, condemning him for eating with publicans and sinners. How can you get someone born again if you don't never go in the presence of them? How can you get someone born again when all you do to, I'm going to say it anyway. When all you do is go to church, when church time is there, and everybody in the church is saved, how are you going to get people born again? You got to go to where they are. Woo! You got to go where they are. And when they find out where you are, they'll start coming to where you are. Just like Jesus. They came to him. Why? Where was he at? He wasn't in church. He was probably out in the countryside somewhere preaching. He did most of his preaching on the banks of the sea, on the beaches and in the mountains and in fields. Hallelujah. He didn't have to go to church to find a place to preach, did he? He was preaching everywhere he went. Glory be to God. Pastor, you're meddling now. Well, I probably am. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But if the Lord tells and brings it up in my spirit, you know, I'm just one to say it. Glory be to God. I want you to say something right here. I love Pastor Lewis. I love you church people too. Hallelujah. Saints of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But say, the truth is the truth. It is, isn't it? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they begin to make merry. Now his elder son, don't forget the Pharisees now, the religious crowd, the lost, they think they're self-righteous, they're lost, and they're hypocrites. And now don't forget them. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants, and the New Living Translation says, one of the servants' boys, he called. no difference. He called him, didn't he? Hallelujah. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf. And because he hath received him safe and sound, say safe and sound, because he hath received him safe and sound, and he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him, or begged him, pleaded for him to come in. Do you know what the word Jesus said? The Bible, Christ says in the word, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. It's not my will that any should perish, but all should have eternal life. And the elder son would not go in. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years have I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. I've always been the best son you've ever had, Dad. I've always done what you told me to do. I never refused doing anything you asked me to do or told me to do. I am the very best that you've got. There's a little pride in the heart. Pride will destroy you. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid. Now listen to this. I want you to pay close attention. And yet thou never gavest me a kid or a small goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, jealousy, pride, jealousy, every evil work is working in this boy. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. All you're doing is rewarding him for wasting all your money and living like a crazy person. That's what he's saying, literally. I've done everything you wanted me to do. Yet you're more concerned about him than you are me. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Thou art ever with me. Now listen to this. And all, everybody say all. All that I have is thine. All that I have is yours. I done divided up my living. I gave him, your younger son, his part, and I gave you your double portion. And not only that, everything I have is yours because you're still staying at home with me. Everything I have belongs to you. Everything. Say everything. Look at verse 32. It was meet, or the right thing to do, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead. He wasn't just gone, he was dead. Why? Because he is dead in his trespasses and sins. And is alive again. He has repented. Is alive again and was lost and is found. Now let me tell you something else. This boy and the Pharisees were just exactly alike. What did Jesus say on a couple different occasions? I know at least one. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. If you listen to them, you pay attention to them, you'll get sidetracked. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now I want us to take and, if you, can you put these scriptures up on the screen as I call them out? Romans 8 and 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Say everything. Say everything.
Everything
that the Father has is mine. He freely gave it to us when he gave us Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke 12 and 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not just everything, but the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Everything that is in Jesus Christ. Everything that he paid for through that atonement belongs to you and me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Right here's the kicker. Through the knowledge of him that has called you, us into glory and virtue. If you don't have knowledge of it, you can't have it. You got to have knowledge of it. You got to know what he did for you. You got to know the price that he paid for you. You got to know that he freely gives you everything that you'll ever need. It's already been done. It's already been done on Calvary. At the cross where my Savior died. Every need has already been met. Hallelujah. And not only that, God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to the two sons. And I like in the New Living, glory be to God. I get it. Hang on there. Glory be to God. In the King James Open Bible, it don't say the prodigal son. It says parable of the lost sheep and parable of the lost son. Because that's what was wrong. He was lost. Glory be to God. He saw, looked at someone and said, God has already given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In other words, he wants you and me to look like Jesus. Hallelujah. Walk like Jesus. Talk like Jesus. He had money. Do y'all know that? There's a lot of people trying to make him out to be poor, but he was not poor. I was studying, meditating on the word one day, and the Lord just dropped in my spirit. How does people think he was poor? When he was born, they gave him enough money to probably last him a lifetime. And it's, you know, if you look at that, it says, the Bible, they say three wise men, but the Bible don't say how many of them came. It said there's three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They can contribute one gift to each person, but that's not what the Word said. The Word don't put a number on how many kings came and how much money they gave him, how much treasures they gave. You know what I believe? I believe they gave him all the money he ever needed to finance his ministry. Why? Because he always got what he wanted, didn't he? All he did was pray, and the Lord, Father God, when he sent him to this earth, set him up to be the stone that the builders rejected, set him up to die on the cross, but set him up to raise a mighty power. All the power of heaven and earth is given unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had to come down as a servant and rise up as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go back to the two sons. Let's look at some of the things that went on. The younger son was not a good steward with the blessings of the father. There's people in the body of Christ that abuse the blessings of the father. This young son did. The older son did not use the blessings of the father. How many of us are sitting around and want or in need because we refuse to find who we are in Christ Jesus and inhabit and manifest those gifts in our life that he's given us? Finances and everything. If we really knew who we were in Christ Jesus, we'd be living a better life than what we are now. And look, I want you to look. I said we. I didn't say you. I said we. Why? Because I don't know nothing yet compared to what I want to know. Hallelujah. The more I know my Lord and Savior, the more I can have. And I'm not just talking about money. As long as I have my needs met, that's fine. I want, glory be to God, I want crowns to lay down at his feet. Amen. Hallelujah. I want crowns to lay down at his feet. I want him to use me as a vessel of honor to bring his word to a lost and dying world. Look at the shape that our nation is in. We need more evangelists, more people on fire for God and getting people born into the kingdom of God than we need anything right now. We've had enough of word in the church that we got people in the church sitting around fat on the word, and I'm not calling anybody fat. I'll put it this way, spiritually fat and souls dropping into hell every day. Glory be to God. The older son did not use the blessings of the father. How many people don't realize who they are in Christ Jesus, and they can't use the benefits that's already been given them? How many of you know what an insurance policy is? Huh? An insurance policy is something that's written up, and if it's in Terry's name, when he dies, his family gets all the money that's in that policy. If he keeps his payments, premiums up. This insurance policy, this will, last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already died. He's left this will, last will and testament to you and to me. Everything in this belongs to you and me. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now appropriating his will. So why not? Why don't we make a quality decision to rise up and begin to be the doers of the word that God wants us to be and inhabit or grab a hold to everything that he has for us? The younger son abused the blessings of the father. First, he wasn't a good steward over it. And then second of the younger, he abused the blessings of the father. The older son did not realize that all the father had was his. There are so many people in the church. I'm not calling no names. I can talk about church I came out of, okay? Baptist church. They don't teach you how to walk in the blessings of God. How did I find it out? I began to find it out because when I got born again, God placed a hunger in me for the word. I began to read and study it for myself. And you know, it wasn't very long I had to leave that church because I began to ask questions. Why come they were preaching contrary to what the word was saying? And I began to stir up problems in the church. And the Lord told me it was time for me to leave Why? Because he is not the author of the vision. Hallelujah. So you have to go to where you get taught the word. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I want you to bow our heads. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this word that has went forth today, Father. Lord, I've ministered what you laid on my heart. And I thank you, Father God, that it has not fell on deaf ears. I thank you, Father God, that every one of us, and I said us, God, that we're changed by the power of your word that has went forth today. That anointing, Lord God, is going deep into each one of our hearts right now, changing us forever for the better. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.